Hey, y'all. The Fallen Podcast is an Augusta University and Georgia Cyber Center production. Thanks for tuning in. Things are about to get wild.
Have you ever wondered what the difference is between the terms Hispanic and Latino or Latinx? While Hispanic generally refers to people with a Spanish-speaking background, Latinx is typically used to identify people who hail from Latin America. Some people identify as both Hispanic and Latinx, and some only identify as one or the other. It's best to respect whatever label a person gives themselves, or to avoid labels altogether if that is their preference. It's also best never to ask someone about their ethnicity unless they bring it up. For more information on how AU is celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month, check out the university calendar at calendar.augusta.edu. This message is brought to you by the Department of English and World Languages.
Augusta University presents In the Wild, the podcast for all things Augusta University. With this week's Quick Jag, here's your host, Rayshawn Ricks.
What's up, y'all, and welcome to In the Wild. I'm Rayshawn, and I am thrilled to be your host for In the Wild podcast. It's a great day, and y'all know I'm always excited to let y'all know what's happening on campus, so we're going to dive right in to this week's Jungle Report. So, starting off, which is really cool because it's a little funny connection I'll get to in a sec, but there is an MCG student who wrote a children's book on how to deal with the pandemic. So MCG student Wesley Walters wrote his book, The Virus That Came to Town. And y'all may have already saw it on social media because it got a little bit of attention, you know, making the local news, regional news and whatnot. And I think it's a really cool book, right? Because how often do you get to, one, know someone who wrote a book, but also seeing the book be illustrated in the about the pandemic, like, that's crazy. And he said he got the idea just as the pandemic started, and he was working with children at the University of Alabama at Birmingham and realized he had to reteach them some public health initiatives like washing your hands, staying home when you're not feeling well, and so on and so forth. And he figured that a book could do just that. So you can check out his book wherever you buy books. It is, once again, The Virus That Came to Town. And you've probably already seen, like, our amazing provost and our university president promoting the book. They got, like, physical copies, but you can check it out. I'm going to check it out because it's really cool. Because the tidbit that I was referencing a little bit earlier is that Wesley, small world, knew one of my former roommates because they're from the same place. So I'm like, okay. So when I heard about this book, I had to text my old roommate and be like, hey, do you know him? And he was like, yeah, we know each other. And so, small world to just seeing so many awesome people doing awesome things, especially people that you may have went to high school with and kind of like fell off and no longer connected with. That's always cool. But moving on, this is like really, really exciting news, right? Because you get to show your creativity at Innovate 2022 competition for a chance to win not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5,000 American dollars. So Augusta University, with the help of the Center for Instructional Innovation, is hosting its third annual student innovation competition, Innovate, from September through April. And you can register right now, and they're looking for a team of students to come up to solve this problem, right? So the theme of this year's competition is Solving Community Needs, which aims to tap into student creativity and innovation to solve critical challenges facing our communities. So this year's competition has support from the Office of the President and the Office of the Provost. And like I said, the winning teams will be awarded a bunch of money. First place is $5,000, second place, $3,500, third place, $2,500, and for everyone else that gets an honorable mention, you can still walk away with $500. And better yet, to all of my faculty listening right now, all of my faculty members listening, if you mentor one of these groups, you will be given $1,000. So please, please, please don't leave this money on the table. Sign up. The link to sign up is in the description of this podcast, because Innovate 2022 is going to be amazing, because you're going to win money. How often do you get to win this type of money at college? Because y'all know we need it. We are struggling. Well, let me speak for myself. I'm not going to speak for y'all. If I could do it, I would do it. I could really use $5,000 right now. Even an honorable mention, I could use $500 right now. That could pay a bill. So I know y'all got bills too. So let's go ahead and look into signing up for Innovate. And you have time to work on it. You have time to build a team and, you know, get creative. We want you to challenge yourself and come up with new ideas to do these things. So be innovative with Innovate 2022. And registration is also still open for Days of Service this year. And if you're unfamiliar, Days of Service is the month of November, and everyone in our AU community, everyone in JAG Nation comes together to volunteer and help push our community forward at some sort of community outreach or service project. So if you go online and check out the Days of Service website, you will see all the different opportunities that you and your group of friends or coworkers or just group of people that you know that you want to work with on something, to find all of the available service projects and sign up, because registration will be open up until October 8th, and you will have November 1st through the 19th to find a project to work with. And our university's core values, we have six of them, and one of them is collegiality, which is super important because we are a team here. We are a family. We are JAG Nation. And this is a moment that we get to help show our collegial side and our compassion, because that's another one of our values, if you didn't know, to really help each other out. And there's so many different projects. I've volunteered at Days of Service a few times, and those are some really interesting, fun moments. And just to get into my last time volunteering at Days of Service, we were downtown, and it was so funny. Because we, that was when I was on the Jaguar production crew as a student, and we volunteered at this service project downtown to basically help with yard work at this location. And they failed to mention to us prior that they had to rehome some bees that were there. And I'm not going to say we got attacked by bees, but the bees weren't happy with us in their territory that day. Yeah, they weren't happy. But it was okay, though. That was a very good bonding moment. And nothing like that has ever, to my knowledge, happened again. And all of the service projects that we have were all really fun. Even if you aren't necessarily a outdoor person, there are so many other fun ones. Because last year, my office that I now work for as an employee were able to make some things for our favorite fur babies, make some bandanas for them, which was super fun because people in our office were able to bring their furry friends to the office, and we're able to take pictures and model with them and show off how they were going to look in their new bandanas. It was really fun. So there's a range of projects that you can look at and volunteer for. So definitely look into Days of Service. And like I said, registration is open until Friday, October 8th. And y'all already know one of my favorite events at this entire university is Alumni Weekend. And it brings all of us together who have, you know, walked across that stage. And this year is happening Friday, October 22nd, and Saturday, October 23rd. And there are going to be banquets all across our campuses for all of the alumni. So you can find your college's event and register for that. Or you can come to the President's Cookout or the Augusta University Brewing Queue. That's something else that you can show up with, because it's for alumni. And y'all, we need to have a better presence on campus anyway. So if you're a graduate like me, come on and come back. It's okay. Some of y'all are already here anyway. So make the effort to spend some time with your fellow alum and see all the changes at the university. We just opened the College of Science and Math on the Health Sciences campus. So you can probably go check that out and see what's happening to all the other buildings on campus, because campus is continuing, can't speak for a second, to change. So definitely make the time to come back. And you got a little while to do that too. So that's what's happening in the jungle, y'all. And I really hope y'all take heed and y'all participate in these events. And y'all check out Wesley's book, because that's super cool. And try to win some money at Innovate, because who doesn't want money? I'm trying to keep myself from getting all hyped up about this money, because I really wish I could participate. But yeah, stay tuned. Review all this stuff that I just mentioned, and we'll be right back. Hey Jags, the wait is almost over. The Augusta U Brewing Q returns at 5:30 p.m. Friday, October 22nd in the D. Douglas Bernard Jr. Amphitheater on the Somerville campus. The BBQ caterer is Southbound Smokehouse, and there will be live music, face paintings, fireworks, and more. HCCU is the signature sponsor, and all proceeds go to undergraduate student scholarships. Tickets are $15 and can be purchased at augusta.edu/BBQ. There'll also be a cash bar. The event is presented by the Somerville Alumni Society Board, and they can't wait to see you there.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Here are a couple of tips to keep you safe online. Create long and strong passwords. The longer a password, the better. When in doubt, throw it out. If an email or text message sent to you looks fishy, it probably is. Keep a clean machine. Software updates on your devices reduce the risk of infection from malware or ransomware. Do your part. Be cyber smart this month and beyond. This message was brought to you by the School of Computer and Cyber Sciences.
Welcome back, y'all, to In the Wild. And joining me in the studio, we have a very cool student. You may have seen some of his viral YouTube videos. He is a second year MCG student, and he's here to tell us a little bit about that journey and his content creation journey. So give a wild Jaguar welcome to Mr. Andy Nguyen.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here, and some very kind words. Thank you. Wasn't expecting that. I wouldn't necessarily call my videos viral, but I appreciate it nonetheless.
I mean, I think they're viral. Like, I think the content that you have created is very interesting, because for those who are listening and aren't familiar, you kind of share your medical school journey as well as other people's journeys in medicine on your channel. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, in general, it's all about storytelling, and that's what I tell anybody who wants to get into video creation or wants to build out a social media platform. I had a conversation actually this morning with an M1 who wanted to submit a video recording for a grant, I believe.
Oh, nice.
And the first questions are always like, yo, what cameras do I get? What lighting do I get? Do I, you know, present myself as an amateur by just filming with my iPhone? And I kind of just had to be like, hey, pump the brakes, you know? it doesn't matter if you have a $16,000 camera. If the storytelling is not there, then you've completely lost the vision and the why of why you press record. So I think it's been a fantastic journey, and I'm just grateful that people are receptive to the original mission and vision that I put out.
So before we dive all the way down that rabbit hole, let's talk a little bit about your undergraduate journey, because you went to undergrad here.
I did.
But you weren't a traditional science major.
I mean, traditional in the sense of, like, yeah, I took a lot of the same classes. I did graduate with a degree in cell molecular biology from Gus University. But I think what you're getting at is I was a part of a 7-year accelerated BSMD program here. And for those of you guys who are like, what in the world is that? It's basically a program that you had to apply directly out of high school to. And it is contractual. So you would do 3 years of undergrad and condense like a 4-year degree in 3 years here at Augusta University, and then it would streamline you to the Medical College of Georgia, given a couple kind of check marks that you need to hit along the way. That includes an interview, GPA requirements, MCAT requirements. But if the benefit of that program is that as long as you hit those check marks, you have guaranteed acceptance into the Medical College of Georgia, which is something new to some people, but I think not as new as people think. These programs have been around since, I believe, the 60s at a bunch of different universities, such as Penn State, Ohio State. There's a whole laundry list of them around the country. but I think it's just really good for people that knew at an early age that they wanted to pursue medicine. And the fact that Augusta University brought that to the school is just a step in the right direction, in my opinion.
So what was that like to kind of condense your undergraduate years into 3 years?
Tough, to say the very least. You know, you're taking 17, 18 credit hours every single semester for those 3 years, on top of I took my MCAT after my second year of undergrad, which is a year earlier than a traditional pre-med route. And so studying for the MCAT while taking 17, 18 credit hours a semester, it was just, oh, it was ridiculous. I wouldn't say it's not unmanageable, but definitely I would say it makes you mature a lot faster than a traditional undergraduate student. And what I mean by that is, like, you really have to adopt mature study strategies way earlier than everybody else. So active recall, spaced repetition, all the stuff that med students use now in order to digest just the stupid amount of information every single week. We had to kind of adopt that our second year of undergrad, which, you know, a lot of students, I guess, aren't ready for. And it was a big kind of kick in the butt for us, where in order for us to get through the program, we had to. And that's not to say that we didn't get to enjoy the traditional undergraduate life. I had a ton of incredible memories. I built a ton of incredible relationships, both with people in my cohort and outside of my cohort at Augusta University. But it is a little bit different. I think people had to somewhat understand, like, hey, I can't go out this Friday night because, like, GPA really matters a lot more for us. And so there were many times I had to say no when a typical student would say yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. What resources did you use to kind of help you stay balanced and just, like, able to keep going and stay afloat?
The med student in me says Anki, and anybody in a pre-med or medical school setting will know exactly what I'm talking about. It is a open source, cloud-based flashcard app that uses a active recall and spaced repetition algorithm. And so it's always, you always hear study smarter, not harder. And that was one of the ways that I did, where I would just kind of do a little bit every single day. And there were already pre-made cards for people that were trying to take the MCAT. So it kind of took the blunt of the initial, like, making the cards effort out of the equation. And for me, I was using that from, like, my entirety of my second year to my third year. And that helped a ton. It saved me a lot of time and effort. I see Khan Academy was was amazing. Articon, and honestly, YouTube. Like, there's so many incredible resources out there that are free, that just type in your subject and you'll get something. And sometimes they know how to condense it a little bit easier than your lecturers. And that's not a knock at our lecturers, but sometimes they just, that's why they put it out there.
Lectures can be overwhelming.
Yeah. And sometimes they don't really know how to differentiate between need to know and nice to know.
Yeah.
And those YouTube videos are all just, like, high yield stuff. And in general, like, I would say our science department here is fantastic, in retrospect. I think a lot of people in my program can testify to that too, where they prepared us very, very well. And my advice to all of the younger students kind of coming up through the program, where they're always, the neurotic kind of personality. I think these accelerated med programs attract this certain type A hyper-productive personality. Myself included, that's a jab at me. But they're always like, first weekend, how do I study for the MCAT? How do I get research? How do I best prepare myself? I'm like, first off, take a deep breath. Second off, you're still a college student. Have fun. Take care of yourself. That is the main thing of getting past this program. And three, studying for your classes actually is studying for the MCAT. Just because of how good our faculty and our curriculum is, if you do well in our classes, you'll start to realize how much it crosses over with your preparation for not just the MCAT, but medical school too. Like, there are tons of points, especially in my foundations module, like immunology, kind of deep microbiome stuff, where because I paid attention and did really well in my microbiome courses at Augusta University, I was like, I don't have to study that hard for this because I still have some of the memory like drilled into me from undergrad. And like, as far as external resources, they're always out there. But I think paying attention in classes is your first step, and you'll be very surprised with how well they prepare you for it without ever having to look anywhere else.
Gotcha. So what does a typical day for you look like now as a second year medical student?
Oh, man. You caught me at a weird time because so we're in a new accelerated curriculum. I'm the guinea pig year, which, of course, why not? Just add on me being a guinea pig even more. Where we condensed our first 2 years of preclinical training into 18 months. So I, as of last week, just finished my brain and behavior or psych neuro block, which was our final system. So after, 15, 16 months of being in medical school, I've completely lost track of time at this point. We have covered every single body system.
Which is wow.
Insane. And so we had kind of a set structure for those kind of didactic weeks, where it would be 3 times a week, you'd have something called CBL or case-based learning, where you'd meet with a group of 7 to 8 people, and you'd run through a case written based off of a patient that went through the MCG system. And you would analyze like the history and physical, and then you kind of walk through, build a differential diagnosis, think about what labs you would order, as well as what you would look out on those labs to kind of tilt your diagnosis one way or another. And by Friday, you would have come to a conclusion, and then we talk about management, treatment, as well as analyze how that particular case ended and how we could have done things differently to either improve patient outcome or just like get to that conclusion more efficiently and in a time/cost-efficient manner. And that's a big part of our curriculum now. Every week we would have something called PCL, which is our patient-centered learning, where that's where you would work with standardized patients. You go through simulations where they really throw you in, like somebody acts like they're having a stroke or something, and you gotta manage that with your team. Either that or some ambulatory stuff, saying like, headache, and you gotta practice your interview skills, your physical exam to kind of narrow down, is this emergent, is this not? And that has really built up our communication skills, as well as just getting us in the mode of, this is what you're gonna be doing on the wards when you hit rotations. And I absolutely love it. Sprinkled between all that are our lectures, and then as well as the occasional ultrasound clinic day. MCG puts a heavy emphasis on making sure you're proficient in bedside ultrasound, which is very, very useful, especially in emergent cases where you're analyzing for internal bleeds, and you can figure that out within 5 minutes. So it's super useful, and I'm glad they're putting emphasis on it. And so in between that, I'd be studying, using Aki flashcards. That way I can take it anywhere and never have an excuse not to be studying. And then I think in general, just trying to take care of myself, go to the gym, cook, hang out with friends, because those are things that should not be neglected, as well as, well, filming these videos. And I think it's learning to balance everything, which is super cliche. Everybody here is going to just roll their eyes like, oh, God, he's talking about med school balance again. But it's true. I've seen friends like pick up things as simple as PC gaming. You know, that's their escape. But it's so important that they go, okay, Friday night, I'm going to take a couple hours for myself, log on, and just enjoy, purely enjoy. And that's built into my schedule, too. That's a long-winded answer to say, now I literally have no idea what my schedule is going to look like, because until January, I tell people that it's clinical boot camp, because now that we're done with all of our systems, now they're going to start hammering in, like, let's get you practice on handing off patients or presenting patients like you would be to your attendings, that are getting you more proficient in your small procedure skills, LPs or lumbar punctures. I don't think we'll be allowed to intubate, not really sure, but I know they're gonna teach us that. Just those are two small examples of procedures that we're gonna be doing on rotations, as well as I think they're hammering in kind of the most common things you'll see on wards so that we can go there and impress and not make a fool of ourselves.
So how do you balance that with a popular YouTube channel that you have?
Oh gosh. I think it's just being intentional with when to film. I think one thing that makes it easy is I'm on my class exec board and my role is the historian, which like, okay, just do my job. But there are definitely times when it gets tiring, but in a way I look back and I'm so thankful that I hit the record button, is I'm capturing some of the fun, goofy times that I'm going to look back in a couple years and go like, oh, those are the times.
Yeah.
And not just that, but I've had some of my peers like tell me that they sit down with their fiancés or their boyfriend, girlfriend, and they watch my videos because they're in it. And it's like their way of going like, hey, I don't get to see you a lot because you're in med school, but he's helping to document for me what you're up to. And so it's really cool to get that insight. But I think time management is one thing. I'll say that. And then I think previous experience is another. So before I came to med school, I did do professional photography, videography for a little bit. So I already had the workflow down.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a big part of me being able to handle this. If I was purely learning how to do lighting, and I still am. Like, you always grow as a creator.
Yeah.
But just the basics of learning your video editing software, your photo editing software, composition, quickly being able to change camera settings on the fly and know what you're doing. Like, that is all things that if you come into this knowing, you will have a lot easier of a time. And that, again, there's so many people that text me and go, hey, how do I start this up? And they'll post like one or two videos and they're like, dang, this is kind of hard, ain't it? And I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of things behind the scenes that you don't really see. And it all comes with a little bit of preparation.
Yeah.
And like I said, getting experience.
And a lot of people, I don't think, realize that being consistent is not as easy as it looks. Because, yeah, you may have your first round of ideas for, like, your first couple of weeks or months. But then once those burn out, you have to learn how to be able to be in creative in pre-production mode, but also in production mode simultaneously. And that's not always easy.
Yeah. definitely there. I have I use Notion for like all my ideas and filming schedules, and I'm telling you, my laundry list of ideas that I wrote down that will probably never see the light of day is like I could probably fill a couple pages with it.
Really?
But that's something that everybody in the creative process can understand. And you know, I watch a lot of YouTubers where I gain inspiration from, and their biggest tip to, you know, starting out is just hit record. That's honestly the hardest part of this entire thing. And like, I think, dang, I almost lost my train of thought there, but, where's I going with this? Sorry.
You're completely fine. But what was it like to see your content start performing well? Like, what is that like?
Surreal. And honestly, it's just a feeling of overwhelming gratitude. And when my first video kind of like, I don't want to say took off, but I guess that's the best way to put it. I was a couple weeks away before then of just like dropping everything, closing shop.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I put up my first, I guess, like legitimate video back in May of 21. Wait, 21? 20. and like, sure, it was fun and I was getting like a couple views here and there, but I was sitting at like 400 subscribers for a solid 6 months or so. And it kind of came to a point where it's like, dude, I am putting in so much effort and so much time into this and not really getting any reward for it. I'm so burnt out, and I think it's time to close up shop. And I ended up kind of pulling up from half court, sending a couple emails to some somewhat famous people, at least in the med YouTube community. And one of them responded. I was like, okay, let's see how this goes.
That's a sign.
Well, I think it was just like, cool. Somebody actually took me seriously, because I think everybody kind of goes through those ups and downs of doubting their own work. And I still go through them today. And that first video kind of took off. I went, okay, this came at a point where I really needed it because I was ready to quit.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you're just filled with this kind of back of the head voice going, you know, you shouldn't have quit. That it's worth it. Keep going. And it's super hard in the moment to convince yourself that it's worth it. But it does feel like tons of time and effort and passion paid off.
Do you plan to use or continue your channel after you get into the field full time?
Definitely. I do. And I think one of the great things about having this channel is I've been able to meet and talk with mentors that have done exactly that. I got to meet Dr. Cellini in New York. He is an attending interventional radiologist that has like 230,000 subscribers. And he's a very good example of learning how to balance that while being a full-time physician. Jake Goodman, shout out him. He is now an intern resident in Miami as a psychiatrist, and he's balancing his like 2.something million followers on TikTok, along with being a resident physician. And that's just a short list. I can go on and on, but there are people that have shown me that it is possible, and what that will look like for me, I don't know. I'll figure that out when I get there, but this has always been a passion of mine to tell, honestly, not really my story, but other people's stories. And that's why the 73 question interview series is just kind of my pride and joy, because it's taking these people's lives, and not just their life as a physician, but their life as a mother, a father, a creative, and making sure that they get the credit that they deserve. And that brings me so much joy. And if I can continue to do that and you know, keep a camera in my hands, throughout the time I'm a physician, I'd love to do it.
And I've seen your videos, I've seen your work, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's awesome. Not only with the, I want to say, like, just cinematography, like the aesthetic of your videos looks so nice, but just the content within itself and the storytelling that you mentioned earlier, I love it. It's chef's kiss.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
So tell everyone listening where we can go to watch all your content.
So primarily it's on YouTube. Channel is ND space MD. It is an old nickname given to me by a friend in high school when they found out I first got into the BSMD program.
Oh, wow.
At that time, it felt like such an just immature and early state for me to even think about an MD next to my name. And I keep it around to kind of, like, I guess, emulate the support that I had when nobody, or those people who supported me when I couldn't even believe in myself. And, you know, some people are like, oh, you need to change your channel name to mine, your actual name. It's better for business and whatnot. I'm just like, it's sentimental value. There's a reason why I have it. So the letters ND space MD on YouTube, as well as on Instagram, Andy_win9. And recently on my TikTok at the real ND MD, I've been having a lot of fun over there. A lot of people kind of pushing me to move towards TikTok as the new frontier. But I think it's fun because I don't have to take it as seriously as
yeah, I do, that's true. YouTube. So yeah, thank you so much for being here, Andy, and I look forward to seeing all the creative things you do next.
Thank you so much. Sorry if I talked your ear off a little bit.
Thanks for listening to In the Wild. If you like what you heard, then give a nice rating and review to this podcast on whatever you use to listen to your podcast. To keep our conversations going, follow In the Wild on Instagram at InTheWildPod and Augusta University on all social media platforms. Don't forget to follow me, your host, Rayshawn Ricks, at Rayshawn Ricks, to send me questions you want to see answered on the show. Tune in for new episodes every week because we don't want you to miss a single thing that's happening on campus. You can also find out more news at jaguar.augusta.edu. Until then, I'll see y'all next time. Stay wild.